thing, it'd be his best thing. If I had only one word, Jesus would be heard. If I had but one breath, I'd use it to praise him with.
For he is really all that matters. When this thing is over, we've crossed these cold waters, we'll see more clearly, see that really he is.
If this were my last day, I'd shout Jesus all the way. If this were my last mile, I'd spend it praising him a while. If I had but one breath, I'd use it to praise him with.
For he is really all that matters. When this thing is over, we've crossed death's cold waters, we'll see more clearly, see that really he is.
If he hadn't loved me like he does, I wouldn't be. If he hadn't saved me and suffered through eternity, if I had but one breath, I'd use it to praise him with. For
he is really all that matters. When this thing is over, we've crossed death's cold waters, we'll see more clearly, see that really he is.
For
he is really all that matters. When this thing is over, we've crossed death's cold waters, we'll see more clearly, see that really he is. We'll see more clearly, see that really he is.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Man, good to be here today. Whew. Nervous. Amen. I heard we had visitors this morning, first-time visitors. I say this every time I preach, it seems like. I don't know what it is, but every time I preach, it seems like we have first-time visitors. And I always say this, but I mean it every time I say it. If you're here for the first time, if I could ask one request of you, I'd ask you to come back. We have a great pastor. I mean that. I'm not just saying it. We have a great pastor. We have a great man of God, a great preacher. And I know God's in control and God had things planned, but I really hope that if you've come to visit our church for the first time today, I hope you'll come back and hear our pastor preach. But I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach this morning. I have been torn. I've got two notebooks here, but I'm not going to preach both of them. Amen. I promise. I told the pastor, I said, I come in with two messages on my heart. That's what he does every Sunday, so don't get worried. He preaches Sunday school and then preaches 11 o'clock hour, and I do it sometimes as well. But I had two messages just burning on my heart the last couple days, even into late last night and this morning. And I brought them both with me, and I said, I'm just going to kind of mind God and see what God has for us. And I've been struggling. That last hymnal that was sang kind of sealed the deal for me this morning. I love to preach, and when I preach, I love to challenge. I mean that. I love to challenge people to serve God, to love God. I love to apply and give application on how that we can put what's preached into practice in our lives. And so I had really been thinking about a message about the new year, and I was going to preach a message. I had considered preaching a message on having victory this year and out of Joshua. And, you know, if it's the Lord's will, maybe some other time I'll preach that message. If not, I'll preach it to our teenagers. Amen. But this morning, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm not really going to challenge you, I don't think, so to speak. I'm not going to give you something that's going to have a lot of application. I just want to kind of encourage you. I just want to kind of speak to you. And I want to talk to you about one thing. I thought about it. I've been thinking about it for about 2 weeks now, really a couple weeks through the Christmas season. I knew I was going to be preaching, and our teens have been working on the song that they sang this morning. And I've had the song Brandon and Jennifer sang this morning. I requested. I've been singing that song to myself for days now. And I've been thinking, the end of a year, right? I thought about preaching on the new year, but instead I'm going to preach on the end of the year. The end of the year, I mean, it just seems like we're closing out a chapter in life, so to speak. And I realize that it's just another day in some aspects, but we really do. We feel like, you know what, we're closing out a chapter and we're beginning a new chapter. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know what, if I had one message, if I could only preach one thing, if this was my last opportunity to get behind a pulpit and preach to a group of people, there's no question what I would preach. And it's Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Jesus. The sweetest name I know. If I could sing this morning, I hope Heather doesn't prove that I can't. Heather's down here recording the youth choir singing, and she didn't tell me. And I'm over there singing my heart out on the front row. So you might have a social media proof that I can't sing here shortly. But if I could sing, I would sing to you. Jesus, what a wonderful name. He really is all that matters. I pray somehow this morning. I don't have a great outline. I don't have a great message. Well, I do have a great message because it's God's word. But I just pray that somehow this morning the Holy Ghost of God could get in somebody's heart, really all of our hearts today, that when this thing is over, Jesus really is all that's going to matter. Money, not going to matter. How many friends? Last name, where you live. It goes on and on. You know what? At the end of life, Jesus is really what matters. And so I want to try to preach to you this morning on that subject. Jesus, what a wonderful name. Jesus, what a wonderful name. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Hey, Jesus' name is the greatest name there is. I want to say this. Number one, the first thing I want to say about that is this. It's Jesus' name. It's a heavenly name. The name Jesus is a heavenly name. Turn to Matthew chapter number 1, if you would. Matthew chapter number 1. I was thinking about how that people, when they're trying to name their child, we have four of them, and it happened with every one of them. You really start to talk about what are we going to name it, you know? Some of you may have books at home like we do of baby names, and they give definitions of what those names mean, and sometimes people use a family name or someone that they know their child's name. I mean, it's just, you know, when we get ready to name that child that God has given us, it's always a big deal. I don't think anybody just kind of you know, guesses when it comes to naming a child, right? I mean, I don't think it just happens at the hospital. All of a sudden, well, when it comes out, we're just going to decide the name of the child. I understand sometimes you have some in your mind, and we're going to decide when we see it. But we always put a lot of emphasis on that name. Can I tell you, hey, Jesus' name was no different. But the thing about Jesus' name that's different than most names, really all names, is that when you were given your name, it was mom or dad, maybe grandmom, granddad, maybe an adopted parent, I don't know, but somebody in your life gave you that name. But can I tell you, hey, Jesus' name is different. See, Jesus had earthly parents. Mary and Joseph were his parents, but his earthly parents. But can I tell you, that's not who named Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter number 1. Let's look at verse number 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. See, Joseph didn't name Jesus. Mary didn't name Jesus. No, God named Jesus. He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means. It means Savior. The Lord is our Savior. What a name that was given to Jesus Christ. It was a heavenly name. Look in verse number 23. It says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus' name is a heavenly name. Can I say this while I'm talking about his name being heavenly? You know that's why we shouldn't use it in a flippant manner. Let me help some folks today. Hey, maybe you do it in ignorance. There was a time in my life that I did. I'll be honest with you. There was a time in my life, out of ignorance, I used the name of Jesus in vain. I used the name of Jesus in a flippant way. But can I tell you, hey, that's not a name that you should use flippantly. That is the name of God in the flesh. That is a heavenly name, the name of Jesus. When we speak that name, I read where one man said, we shouldn't even speak that name. That name shouldn't be on our lips unless it's in our heart. We shouldn't speak the name of Jesus in a flippant way. I can't stand when I'm in a public place or at a job, at a workplace, or at a restaurant, and someone just flippantly uses the name of Jesus. Hey, it's a heavenly name, that name, Jesus. We ought to reverence that name. We ought to respect that name. Young people, hear me this morning. It's you Sunday. Can I tell you, hey, learn what it is to respect the name of Jesus. Don't use Jesus' name in vain. I can't believe the way our society uses the name of Jesus. It's a wonderful name. Jesus, what a wonderful name. It's a heavenly name. Number two, it's a holy name. It's a holy name. 1 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin. This Jesus that I'm speaking to you about today, hey, not only is his name heavenly, but his name is holy. Jesus was sinless, perfect, separate from sinners. He is the Son of God. And the Bible says his name is holy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I'm talking to you this morning about Jesus. Our Savior, that wonderful name of Jesus Christ. We sang about it a couple minutes ago. Glory to his name, right? It's a heavenly name. It's a holy name. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 33, verse 21, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Jesus' name is holy. And thank God that it is. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful name. It's a heavenly name. It's a holy name. Can I tell you this? Hey, it's a harmonizing name. It's a harmonizing name. You say, what do you mean about that, Brother David? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Not only is our Savior's name a holy name, not only is his name a heavenly name, but can I tell you, our Savior's name is a harmonizing name. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. The name of Jesus is a harmonizing name. Hey, it's a heavenly name. It's a holy name. But can I tell you, hey, it's a harmonizing name. You say, what is harmony, Brother David? Harmony is when we're in unity, when we're all together. Can I tell you, the reason today we have folks from different cultures, folks from different colors, folks with different languages, folks from different financial brackets, folks from different places. The reason we've all met here today is because of one reason and one thing only, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. It's a harmonizing name. Can I tell you, we wouldn't be gathered together in this group of people today if it was not for Jesus. We're not here because of Pastor Dale Freeman. We're not here because of Pastor David Oliver. We're not here because of Fellowship Baptist Church, or because we have a nice building, or because we run buses, or because we have activities and events. We're here because of one reason and one reason only, and that's because of the name that's above every name, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. It's a name that harmonizes. It brings people together. Can I tell you, one day, all the world, the Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day, it doesn't matter which language you speak. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter how much money you have. One day, we're all going to gather around the throne of God, and we're all going to worship God, and we're all going to be in harmony one with another for one reason and one reason only, and it's because of the name of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful name. It's a wonderful name. I love it. My wife and I went out last Sunday night with some folks from the church, and we were some folks from the church. We went out with the church. I didn't know. Nobody sent me the memo, but for those of you that don't know, Fellowship Baptist Church invades the Madison McDonald's every Sunday night, okay? So if you wasn't invited, there you go. You're invited to the invasion, right? I didn't realize that, but some folks from church asked my wife and I if we'd like to go grab a bite to eat or a Sunday or something at church, after church. And so we went to McDonald's over here in Madison. And when we got there, I mean, it was folks, it was families. The whole place was full of Fellowship Baptist Church. Is that a normal thing? Yeah, the heads are nodding, especially on this side. So this section is obviously not in harmony with everybody else, because they over here nodding their heads and nobody over here. So they're leaving us all out. But I'm going to invite you all in the name of Jesus. If you want to go to McDonald's tonight after church, it's there, and it'll be other people from Fellowship Baptist Church there. Okay? But, what was I saying? We went there, and I don't think about this much. I really don't. I thought about it in the past, and I've heard it said, but for some reason, the other night on the way home from McDonald's, it really dawned on my soul. It's the difference between, you know, hearing it and then really getting it, you know. And I got it the other night. We got there, and my kids, you know, they got their food, and other kids that were in there came, and they done their thing. And before you know it, I mean, it was just, you know, we let the dogs out. But they were just, I mean, you know, they were just rambling around McDonald's from table to table and talking and doing this and doing that. And we left, and on the way home, my wife said something. I can't remember how it came up, but we were talking, and she said, you know, I'll tell you what it was. I was talking about Brother Stanley and Miss Stanley. I said, you know, Brother Stanley and Miss Stanley have only been in Virginia for a couple of years now. I'm not even sure exactly how long, but I said, you know what? It just seems like they've been here forever. And they were new to the area. They moved to this area, and they were there at McDonald's. So if you didn't get invited, it's his fault. No, I'm just playing. But he was at McDonald's. And I said, you know, the Stanleys, it's like they've been here forever. I said, it's really almost like they're just family. My wife said, you know, she said, that's the blessing of being in church. It's like one big family. And I've heard that so many times, but that night it dawned on me. I've got children, and I mean, my children were going from table to table, and it was like family. Uncle Greg. Now, Greg Banks was in there. And I mean, it's a blessing. My children have a huge family. I'm a part of a big family. I didn't grow up in a big family. We didn't have a big family. We didn't do the big family get togetherings. I mean, every now and then, but we didn't have the huge family that some folks have. But since I met Jesus, I've got a family. I went to Honduras about 3 years ago, and by the end of a 7-day trip, I had family. You feel that way, Brother Dave? You got back to South Africa? It's like, it's family. So why? Because of Jesus. There's folks here this morning said they're visiting the area And no doubt in my mind, hey, they came to church this morning because obviously, I don't even know these folks, but obviously they understand that if we're going to move to a new area, we're going to need some family. You know where they're going to find it at? At a place like this. You know why they're going to find it? Because of one reason, and one reason only. It's not because we're good people. It's not because we're nice people. It's not because we're country people. No, there's one reason and one reason only, and that's because of the name of Jesus Christ. It harmonizes. It brings people together. I can't wait for the day. One day, it's a reality. I think sometimes we just don't get it. One day, we are all going to gather. I mean, every tribe. I love that verse it talks about in Revelation. Every tribe and every tongue, every kindred is going to gather together. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. He harmonizes. He brings together things that have been divided. Can I tell you, hey, I can go even deeper in this right here. Is your marriage divided this morning? Can I tell you what'll fix it? Jesus. Is your home divided? You say, my children have gone wayward and it just feels like they're a distance and our house is divided. Can I tell you what you need to do? You need to get a hold of Jesus because Jesus harmonizes. A church that gets divided, obviously, is a church that has gotten Jesus out of his right place. This church, I've heard it said so many times, we have such great harmony and such great unity here at our church. And I know why that is. It's not because we have a great preacher. Though we do have a great preacher, it's not because of our preacher. No, it's because of Jesus. As long as we keep Jesus right at the center of everything we do, we'll always have harmony. We'll always have unity. Oh, there might be some bumps and bruises along the way, but as long as Jesus is where he's supposed to be, he just kind of glue, he's the glue that holds everything together. Amen. Jesus. You need some harmony in your life. You need some unity in your life. You say, I just feel so distant. Hey, then get to Jesus. His name is a name that harmonizes. It's a heavenly name. It's a holy name. It's a harmonizing name. As much as I hate to say it, I threw this in there. It's also a hated name. It is a hated name. Turn to the book of Acts, if you would. Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 14, we're going to go kind of backwards. Normally you preach to the text, but we're going to preach from the text. Acts chapter 4, I want to show you something here. In verse number 14, it says, "Behold, a man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." You see that? They said, "Speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Though it is a heavenly name, and though it is a holy name, and though it is a harmonizing name in that it brings things together, can I also tell you this morning, it is a hated name. There are folks throughout the pages of that book right there that hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are folks throughout the pages of history that hate the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are folks throughout the land that we live on today that hate the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a hated name. That right there in itself ought to tell us. Can I tell you, I read something one time I thought was very, I thought that's very thought-provoking. It's very, you know, these atheists, these God deniers, these really, some of them are even God haters, okay? Some of these folks that hate God, you know, they're not mad. I don't want to break no hearts this morning, but hey. Lions of sin, so I'm going to break hearts this morning, okay? They're not mad that the tooth fairy's not real. Okay? That doesn't make them mad. People tell people the tooth fairy is real, and if you think the tooth fairy is real, I'm sorry. I'm really not. I'm just preaching the truth, okay? You take it up with God. He told me not to lie. They don't get mad. They don't get mad. Well, some of them do. Well, never mind. I might be preaching against myself right here, because some folks get mad. You start telling that their lies are lies. That's a whole nother story, okay? But what I'm saying is, hey, they don't get mad. They don't get mad at the tooth fairy. They don't get mad at the Easter bunny. They don't get mad at all these other lies. But for some reason, hey, they really hate this Jesus. You know why? Because they know it's not a lie. Their conscience tells them it's not a lie. And they are willingly and willfully denying that there is a God and that his name is Jesus. Can I tell you, hey, they don't hate Confucius. They don't hate Buddha. They don't even hate Muhammad. They don't hate Allah. They don't hate, you name it, you go down the list of these false gods, these idols that the world has set up. And can I tell you, hey, they don't hate none of them, but there's one that they hate. There's one they really can't stand. There's one they don't even want you to mention his name, and that's Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hey, it's the sweetest name I know. And it's a hated name. This world hates the name of Jesus. It's a heavenly name. It's a holy name. It's a harmonizing name. But it also is a hated name. And I don't have time to go into it, but I probably could tell you why they hate that name. You know why they hate that name? I will go into it just real briefly. You know why they hate that name? Because they know what that name means. That name means Savior. That name means you're a sinner. That name means you're going to stand before God. That name means that there's no way that you can pay for your sins outside of Him. And they hate that name because it tells them you're a sinner. You're a sinner, you're a sinner, and if you stay in that condition, you're going to die in that condition and go to a devil's hell, and they can't stand it. They hate it because there's an enemy behind it, and he hates that name. He's hated that name from the beginning. Can I tell you, hey, you want to make the devil mad today? I think the devil's getting mad today. Every song we sang, every prayer we've prayed, the message we're preaching, it's all about Jesus, and the devil hates Jesus. Hey, it's a wonderful name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonderful name. It's a heavenly name, a holy name, a harmonizing name. It's a hated name. Can I say this? Acts chapter 3, turn back a page. I thank God for this. It's a healing name. It's a healing name. Look in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" This man is crippled. This man is lame from his mother's womb, and Jesus, the name of Jesus, healed him. Look in verse number 16. In verse number 16 it says, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Peter said, "Hey, I didn't heal him. Jesus did." Hey, there's healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Look in Acts chapter number 4. Look at verse number 10. It says, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Can I tell you, hey, it's the name of Jesus Christ that heals people. I don't know what your condition is today, but can I tell you, if you need some healing, there's only one that can do it, and his name's Jesus.
I'm talking about healing. You say, what do you mean by healing? I'm talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual. I'm talking about mental. I'm talking about marital. I'm talking about, I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what's crippling you today. I don't know what's got you lame and got you in bondage and got you bound. But can I tell you, there is one that can set you free. There is one that can heal you. There is one that can help you. And it's not me. It's not our preacher. It's not the Pope. It's Jesus. 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 His name is a name of healing. Luke chapter 4 verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to them that are blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Psalm 124 verse 8 says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." Hey, Jesus' name is a helping name. It's a healing name. The name of Jesus. I wonder how many times, we prayed for Miss Dobbins last week. And we prayed in Jesus' name. And you know what? You say, well, Brother David, what if God doesn't heal Miss Dobbins? Oh, he's going to heal Miss Dobbins. We might not see it, but her husband will. Amen. Her parents will. He's going to heal her. You say, well, I know somebody and they didn't get healed. Hey, if they prayed in Jesus' name and they meant it, hey, Jesus' name brings healing. Whether it's in this life or the life to come, he is a healer. He is a helper. The name of Jesus Christ, it heals. There's people here, he said, I come to heal the brokenhearted. Can I tell you, hey, there's somebody here this morning, your heart is broken. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you lost a loved one. I mean, the holidays, they say, are some of the most depressing times for people. Can I tell you what you need? You need to get a hold to the name that's above every name. That's the name of Jesus. He can help you. He can heal your broken heart. What do you need today? What's got you crippled? There's no doubt in my mind, as I look across this auditorium, I don't see anybody in a wheelchair. I don't see anybody with crutches. But there's no doubt in my mind, spiritually speaking, there are some folks in this building this morning that are crippled. They're crippled. They're lame. They need help. And I can tell you who can do it. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's a healing name. It's a helpful name. Number 6, and I'm almost done. It's a hopeful name. Look at Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 4. Look at verse number 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Hey, this name of Jesus, not only is it a healing and a helping name, but can I tell you, hey, it's a hopeful name. If you're here today and you have no hope, the Bible says, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. What does that mean? Hey, we don't sorrow like lost people sorrow. Lost people sorrow when they lose a loved one because they know in their heart, I'm never going to see them again. But can I tell you, the Bible says, hey, we don't sorrow like those which have no hope. We have hope. And you know what that hope is in? That hope is in Jesus. It's a hopeful name. You're here today and you have no hope. You feel like you're just lost in this world, and you feel like there's young people killing themselves every single day. Can I hear you? If you're a young person in this building today, if you're a young person, a teenager, even a young adult, I can't believe the statistics of young people that are taking their life. And you know why? It's because they have no hope. They look at this world, they look at their parents, they look at people, they look at sin, they look at society, and they just get sick and they feel like, I have no hope. I just want to die. Can I tell you this morning? There's hope. There is hope. There is hope for the hopeless, and it's in Jesus. Amen. Jesus. It's not in the church. It's not in the preacher. It's not in a Christian. No, it's in Jesus. It's Jesus. You say, well, I've tried church. Quit trying church. Try Jesus. Church isn't going to fix you. A preacher can't fix you, but Jesus can fix you. You want some hope? Hey, get to Jesus. Salvation in any other name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the only way to have any hope in this world is through Jesus. I'm passionate about that. Sister Linda, you blessed my heart this morning. Linda come to me this morning. She said, I can't remember exactly what she said, but she basically told me, I just owe so much to you. You saved my life. And I knew what she meant. And I told her, no, Jesus saved your life.
Amen.
She said, but he used you. And I said, I know what you mean. He used Calvin. And for Calvin, he used Dwayne. And for Dwayne, I don't know, maybe he used Pastor Dale. I don't know. But he uses people. But at the end of the day, can I tell you, people ain't who did it. I thank God for Brother Calvin. I'm forever grateful for the man that introduced me to Jesus. I was without hope. Hopeless. Just wandering through life aimlessly without hope. Gonna live miserably and die miserably. But somebody introduced me to Jesus. I thank God for our pastor. God's used him in a great way to bring me to Jesus. But God helped me never, ever to put more emphasis on the tool than the master.
Put more
emphasis on the glove than the hand. It's Jesus, brethren. It's Jesus. The only reason anybody in this building this morning can lay their head on a pillow tonight and go to sleep with peace in their heart is because of one reason and one reason only, and it's because of Jesus.
Amen.
He really is all that matters.
Amen.
When it's all said and done, when life is over, you know what? It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter what I've accomplished. It's not going to matter how much money I've made. It's not going to matter how many friends I have. No, when it comes down to the end, all that's going to matter is what did I do with Jesus? Jesus. He gives hope to the hopeless. It's a hopeful name. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, I read it to you. He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Why? Why do you want us to call his name Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins. Why? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why is the world just infatuated with this man Jesus? Why is today December the 30th, is that right? 2018 A.D. Because of Jesus. You signed your check this morning in evidence that there is a man named Jesus. Those deniers, you say, what do you mean by that? When you dated that check, the date on that check is proof that Jesus came into this world. We test time by this man, Jesus. He gives hope. He gives help. He gives healing. He harmonizes. He's holy. He's heavenly. And can I tell you, he's the highest. And I'm just going to finish right here. I'm just going to read some scripture to you, and I'm done. He's the highest. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 9, Isaiah read to you, it said, God hath given him a name which is above every name. Hey, his name is bigger than any name you've ever heard before. It's the highest name. Psalm 29, verse 2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 34, verse 1 through 3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Psalm 145, verse 12 says, I will extol thee, my God. O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Hey, bless his holy name. It's the highest name. There's no name like his name. The name of Jesus Christ. I hope when you leave this building today, You don't say, man, I tell you, Brother David, he preached a good message. Or, man, Brother David, he really, you know, messed it up today, whatever. You know, Brother David, or man, that's special. Man, those young people, man, Brother Brandon and Sister Jennifer, man, that building. No. When you leave this building today, I hope you say, man, Jesus, he's wonderful. Whoa, what a wonderful name of this name, Jesus. I'm so thankful for the day in my life when I heard that sweet name. There's a song, I used to listen to it all the time. I'd lay in the bed and just cry and listen to it. I heard a sweet voice. I thank God for the day in my life when I heard that sweet voice. You say, whose voice? Jesus. Jesus. He said, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you help. I'll give you hope. I'll give you harmony. I'll make you holy. I'll take you to heaven. It's Jesus. Jesus. What do you need today? If I had one message, one thing that I could say, that song, I just love it. I'm actually going to ask the pastor, if he don't mind, an invitation. Can I have them sing that song one more time? I'm done. Y'all can come, prepare, Brandon, Jennifer. It's been on my heart. I haven't been able to get away from it. Just that thought, if I could say one thing, it'd be he's the best thing. If I had only one word, Jesus would be heard. If I had one option, what would you say? What would you say, Brother David, if you had one chance, one opportunity, what would you tell him? I'd tell him Jesus. Jesus. Can I tell you there's power in the name of Jesus? I'm going to have them sing, and Pastor, I'm going to turn it over to you, and you can handle the invitation. Thank you. Hey, praise the name of Jesus. Thank you.
I could say one thing, it'd be he's the best thing. If I had only one word, Jesus would be heard. If I had but one breath, I'd use it to praise him with.
For he is really all that matters. When this thing is over, we've crossed as cold waters. We'll see more clearly and see that really he is.
If this were my last day, I'd shout Jesus all the way. If this were my last mile, I'd spend it praising him a while. If I had but one breath, I'd use it to praise him with.
For he is really all that matters. When this thing is over, we've crossed as cold waters, we'll see more clearly, see that really he is.
If he hadn't loved me like he does, I wouldn't be. If he hadn't saved me, I'd suffer through eternity. But one breath, I'd use it to praise him with. For
he is really all that matters. When this thing is over, we've crossed as cold waters, we'll see more clearly, see that really he is.
For
he is really all that matters. When this thing is over, we've crossed as cold waters, we'll see more clearly, see that really he is. We'll see more clearly, see that really he is.